And then to do Simun Kuvav. Simun Kuvav is not very long, as you can see. So the plan would be to do Simun Kuvav in its entirety today. And then tomorrow, Simun Kuv Zayin in its entirety. And then Kuv Ches is already going to be a longer Indian that will take some time. So let's begin by finishing off the third issue that we were discussing when it comes to Hefsid Merubah. So if you recall, the three issues about Hefsid Merubah, first of all, how do you measure how much is this Hefsid Merubah?
I was going to how do we pass them to chicken chowder yesterday? What do they pass them in Mansi?
In Mansi. Oh, someone asked me that. Did you ask me that? Someone else asked me that. How did they pass them at the end of the day? Did they make people kasher all their kelim? I think they did require people to kasher their kelim. I think, but there were details. How often you bought there, because he also sold kosher chickens. He didn't only sell exclusively non-kosher. So I think it depended on whether you were a regular customer or you only bought there a couple of times, or something like that. I think that. But I wanted to track it down before I answered. So that's why, I wanted to track down what the answer was. I know at the time, Rabbi Luban Shlita wrote a piece in the Sora Journal about Tumtum Aleih. And whether you need all the people in Mansi needed to do tshuva, because they have, or do they need to be concerned about the Tumtum Aleih that was caused because of eating non-kosher? Or do you say that something that's known as gomri, you don't even have Tumtum Aleih, that somehow that which pashtus is you would have Tumtum Aleih is just a reality pashtus. It's a spiritual reality. It's not dependent on whose fault it was. But, a lot of people were nervous about that. So I think there was a whole Masora journal actually dedicated to the Mansi chicken scandal. So I think they have the discussion about it.
Because everyone in that Mansi reads that journal.
Right?
Because everyone in Mansi reads the Masora journal.
Right. Of course. Right. So they do it just under the table. So again, the three shadows related to Hefsid Merubah were: one, how do we quantify Hefsid Merubah? How big of a Hefsid is Hefsid Merubah? So we discussed that, whether it's a percentage or whether it's a kalavi ra'os ene amora, which is pashas and we paskin, that it's a kalavi ra'os ene amora, depending on the situation. Then we discussed, what if it's not Hefsid Merubah on one piece, but I happen to have 100 pieces? So do you then assume that it's a Hefsid Merubah? Are we done on all of it together, or on each one on its own? And we pointed out, Rabbi Kivega and the Yad Ephraim or Machmir, that you judge each one, but the Beis Shlomo says you can judge based on the entire community or based on the entire, and that's what we're talking about with the Mansi chicken thing, that each one might not be Hefsid Merubah, but the whole community is Hefsid Merubah. And then the third issue was, what if it's a Hefsid Merubah for the Shechita house, but it's not a Hefsid Merubah for the consumer who's going to buy the chicken, right? Meaning you're going to be making and say, oh, this chicken is kosher because it's Hefsid Merubah. But for the consumer, it's only one chicken. It's not such Hefsid Merubah for the consumer. Why should he be making on some kula that's built on Hefsid Merubah when for him it wouldn't be a loss to not be able to have this? Even if you have to buy the chicken and throw it out, it would be a loss of $12. It would not be a loss of a significant sum of money. But they in the Shechita house, they happen to have 10,000 chickens, so it's going to be a much bigger loss. So that's really the most important shaila in terms of industrial kashrus, because these kinds of things come up all the time, where something happened in a factory, in a plant, or something, and there's some kula b'makom Hefsid Merubah. So the question is, how do we handle that? So some sofers quote in the Pesukei Teshuva that Hefsid Merubah is only for the owner and his family, but for other people to eat the meat, if it's not theirs, that would not be okay. Meaning, if it's Hefsid Merubah for me, so good, so I'm allowed to eat this. I should not be inviting my friends over to eat this, because for them it's not a Hefsid Merubah. So it's only for the person who's presented with the shayla, who has the shayla, whose food it is, that would be makel on Hefsid Merubah. And therefore, it would seem that you would have to tell the customers. And if you don't tell the customers that this was only mutter b'makom Hefsid Merubah, it would be a mekach talus. Unless there's no other kosher meat in town. Because if there's no other kosher meat in town, then that itself makes this a shas hachak, which is usually lahakel, just like Hefsid Merubah is lahakel. Right? So that itself would be enough reason to be makel. So that's some sofer. The Kiveger in Simon Mem Gimel in Tshuva says at the end of the Tshuva that we're makel to consider it a Hefsid Merubah for everybody to be able to eat. Meaning, you only have to pass on the shayla once. right? Once you pass the shayla for whoever owns the chicken, the shachtes, or whatever the shayla is about, the factory, and you pass it, have some ruba mutter. So that's it. Now it's mutter. Now you put an OU on it, you put a haimisha shkach on it, you put all the haimisha, whatever. Now it's mutter. It's mutter for everybody. But the Pesach Tshuva says that you still have to let them know that you're relying on the fact that it's mutter to have some ruba. I mean, even though it's taka mutter, but still, people would want to know that it's, if it's only mutter b'makom, have some merubah. Marsham in the Das Torah, in the Hakdamah Hilchos Treifos, says that if you always buy at that one butcher shop, then it's considered as if kvar bal liyada. Meaning, even if you're mechalek between the person who has the shayla and future customers who do not yet have the shayla, if you're a regular customer, you're not considered a future customer. It's considered kvar bal liyada. It's considered as if it was your shayla to begin with. So he also says that if you know that the people who are your customers would always be mekel anyway, then you could sell it to them without telling them. Meaning the kind of customers that say, oh, there's Hebrew writing, so it must be kosher. And that's all they look for, right? Or they say, oh, it was blessed by a rabbi. Or they just look for any sort of kashrus, and they don't really care. Any Jewish hakshar is good enough for them. So that certainly, makom hafsid merubah, you could be mekel. Rav Avadya writes that hechsherim are mekel with this inyan, and they don't tell you about it. I think there was a case that the different mochil, or someone has a tshuva about where there was a overseas plant somewhere that was making something and making the people kasher based on the mistake of the kashrus agency would be a huge chil Hashem. So they thought that was a hefsim merubah. The different Malkiel has a right as follows in this case, in terms of how we do have some ruba for the person, or for the customer, or for the owner. He has a right from the Mishnah Beitza. Right? The Mishnah Beitza talks about the halacha is that if you have a behema mesukenes, so what's behema mesukenes? It's a behema that's going to drop dead imminently, right? And if it drops dead, it's in the veila. No one's ever going to be able to eat it. Right, so your interest when you have a heim l'sukenes is shechted as quickly as you can. Because if you shechted, then it'll be shechut, and then you'll be able to salvage all of that meat in this behema. The problem is it's yantif. So, okay, you're allowed to shecht an animal in yantif, nothing wrong, it's ochel nefesh, so you're allowed to shecht the animal in order to be able to eat it on yantif. No, but the problem is it's the last day of yantif and you already had lunch. You already had your final su'ud of yantif. There's an hour left of yantif. 2 hours left the yantif, and you're nervous that the animal might drop dead. So the Mishnah says that if you already ate the yantif meal and you can't shecht it on yantif, if you don't need it for that day, so if there's the Mishnah says that even though I don't even need it for today, I wasn't planning on eating any more meat today, but if there's enough time during the day to roast the kezayis from the Beis HaShechita, if you can quickly shecht and take the kezayis of meat from the near the area where you shecht it and roast it, because you're not going to have time for melicha, obviously. So if you do tzli, you don't need melicha, then we would follow the daraisa, which is all the mekla yorchim chazilai. The dimmi daraisa is that even though you don't need this food, but since an army of guests might show up at any moment and be expecting a lot of food, so therefore you're allowed to do it. It's still considered ochel nefesh. So normally we wouldn't rely on ho'il, but you'll rely on the daraisa. But makom hefsim ruba, and this is hefsim ruba. So says the Mishnah, right? That's basically what it says in the Sechus Beitza. So Dibur Malkiel very sharply points out. He says, I have a behem sukenis. I'm not a sheikhe. Right, so you're going to tell me, oh, I can be mekel to shecht it on Yom Tov because of Hefzer Ruba. How am I going to shecht it? I'm going to call my local shochet. I'm going to ask him to come to my house. He's going to shecht it. Where's the Hefzer Ruba for him? He's not going to have some Ruba for him to shecht it. It's not his animal to begin with. And yet, we allow him to do the malacha. We allow him to do the Maisa Shechita because it's my Hefzer Ruba. So you see that if it's Hefzer Ruba for the owner, it's hefsim ruba for everybody, meaning we could be mekel for everybody. That it's a one-time sign. Hefsim ruba works for whoever is going to be impacted by this. In Yavia Omer, Rav Avadya Teshuva, I don't know if the exact Maramakom, but somewhere in Yavia Omer, he says, you know, how can we say that the butcher can sell it if we also hold that Asher l'fi Asher v'ani l'fi Anyal? So he says it must be that I have to take the other guy's hefsim ruba into account. butcher, lefi ashro, it's not absent meruba. But the point is that that it's not measured based on, we don't measure absent meruba based on each individual. If there's a hefsim ruba in the picture over here, then we're mekel, and we could be mekel more broadly. Rabbi Reisman pointed out that this comes up, this inyan of hefsim ruba, whether it's considered to be a more narrow issue for only the owner, or it's considered to be something that relates to everybody, he points out that it comes up in writing tefillin. Reisman has been very into a lot of halachos of Safros that most Rabbanim are not so well versed in. Oh, by the way, tomorrow in Yeshiva, Rabbi Reuven Mendelwitz is coming. He is a Sofer Stam. He wrote the book Inside Stam. It's always a home run when he comes. He's great. So he's going to be doing the contemporary halacha tomorrow. And if you have any questions about Safros, I wanted to send him an email. I want to ask him to present to the Rebbeim, if the Rebbeim are interested, I haven't asked any of them yet, on the Sefer Torah controversy, the newest Tikkun controversy. Are you familiar with this? Anyone read the Yair Hoffman's articles on Yeshiva Halachos? The way Sefer Torah are written is that they use a Tikkun, to write the Sefer Torah from, but not like the Tikkun you get through by mitzvah. It's highly perfect tikkunim that they have that a sofer would buy in order to write a Sefer Torah from. There was a very well-meaning sofer that didn't realize the way computers work, and that when you hit a space over here, it could affect the file in like 10 other places. And and everyone was using his tikkun for the last three years at least. He had sold somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 copies of it to Sofrim, which means that probably we have about 10,000 Sefer Torah out there that were written based on the Tikkun, and it is riddled with errors. And it's not the same errors in each one, because he made a separate file for each person that he sold it to, and each file had different errors. So it's not even easy to be able to tell, and many of the errors are ma'akev, problems with psukos and sumos, but also problems because the Tikkun also tells you when to have kavana, the shem kedusha, and when not. When you write the word Elohim or Elohim, right, when you should have kavana for shem Hashem, when you shouldn't. So there are a few errors in that. Bottom line is there could be 10,000 Sefer Torah that are floating around that are possible. So the shayla is, what do you do about that now? Is there any way to tell? Is there any way to track it down? So they're trying to. So I emailed Rabbi Mendelwitz yesterday. Like, is this for real? Is this like something we should be concerned about? And he said, yes. this is definitely, it's definitely a problem. I would, if you know anyone that's written the Sefer Torah in the last 3 years, it's probably not a bad idea to advise them to ask the broker, or usually people do it through a broker, to ask the broker who the sofer was and whether he used the sticker. Because the easiest way to solve the issue is if the sofer will tell you, don't worry, I didn't use it. You'd want to know this. If you know anyone who's written Sefer Torah in the last 3 years anywhere on planet Earth, you'd want to know that question. It's a big, big problem. So they say, oh, why don't you just do a computer check? People said, no, my sofer was computer checked twice. Yeah, what ticket were they checking it against? Meaning they when they computer check, the computer just flags like 1,000 issues for you. And then you got to check it against the hard copy and see. So if you're checking it against something that's mistaken also, and the computer can't tell whether you wrote the Shem Hashem, the Shema or not. The computer has no idea. That's AI level. We're not there yet, right? They can't do that. So the Maisa, I want him to present, and because I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what the. It doesn't seem like there's a simple solution to this. So Rabbi Reisman pointed out that this comes up in writing tefillin. Why? Because the tefillin need to be written kesidra. So if there's a bad letter in the middle, it takes a long time to write a parsha, and sofrim generally are not the wealthiest people in the world. I mean, you think that you pay, $150 for a beautiful mezuzah. Think about, how much time it probably takes a sofer to write a beautiful mezuzah. And at the end of the day, it's $150 But that doesn't count. The cost of the parchment and the ink and the broker, the middleman, the store. I mean, the sofer makes almost nothing. So they're not wealthy people. So he doesn't have a lot of time. So if you miss a vav, it has to go into shemitz. So that's a big hefsid. So it's very common for letters to be touching each other. So if a sofer looks over a parsha and sees that two letters are touching, so Bir Alacha brings a machlokas whether correcting in the Gia is a problem of Shaloki Sidra. Whether just scraping out the Nikiya of two letters is a problem of Shaloka Sidra. Not where you take the Chas and you make it Shnei Zayin in the rest, but just stop a Nikiya of letters, whether the Bir Alacha has two deus, whether that's a problem of Shaloka Sidra. Says the Bir Alacha, the Malcolm Hefsim could be maker. So the Sofer are all maker, because it's a Hefsim for them. But I could buy any mezuzah, I don't need to buy that Sofer's mezuzah. So why should I be Mekel when I'm buying? Maybe it should be labeled as, you know, Mutam and Makom Hefsid would be a Bir Alacha. So, but they don't label it that way. Why do they not label it that way? Because we're assuming, like this opinion, that once you say, like Rabban writes, once something is Hefsid Merubah, it's Hefsid Merubah for everybody. Like Dibri Melkila writes, when it comes to the Shochet, that once it's Hefsid Merubah, we label it as Hefsid Merubah for everybody, even though it's not Hefsid Merubah for every party that's involved in the case. So that's just an example of where this inyan of Hefsid Merubah comes up. Okay, so now let's move on to Siman Kuf Vav.
I'm just wondering, if it's the shop or whatever, to not have customers, I mean, that part of the Hefsid Merubah is that they can't sell it to the customers.
Why Hefsid Merubah for the shop to not
have... It's a butcher shop that has, like, problems in the rally of Hefsid Merubah. So they're going to lose money if they tell their customers not to come to them and go to the shop down the block.
Right.
So is that part of the Hefsid Merubah not to tell them?
Meaning if they were to tell them this is only mutter from Malcolm Hefsid Merubah,
yeah,
right, obviously it's going to backfire. It's still going to be Hefsid Merubah for them. But still, why am I allowed to eat it just because it's your Hefsid Merubah?
So you
have to rely on this chiddush that if it's Hefsid Merubah, that's just a psak, and therefore it becomes mutter for everyone. It's a chiddush, but you have to say that, otherwise we're in trouble. You have these kinds of piskei halacha all the time. So Siman Kuf Vav is a very short siman, and it introduces the concept that we've seen before of Efshal Lesofto Aser. I never remember when we come across something in Basmachol and I say, we're going to do this in Tarov. It's like how much we explained actually in Basmachol and how much we relied on Tarov. So we'll try to explain the Indian as best as we can. There aren't so many applications in Halacha of Efshal Lesofto. I mean, it doesn't come up in the halachic of life as a community rabbi, where these are the kinds of shaylos that come up all the time. But in Lundus, it's like, you know, one of the famous sukkahs. So in Lundus, it's a your day. Someone's going to say, what do you know about Efshal Lesofto? What do you know about Nafik? What do you know about Kanan? What do you know? These are just concepts that you sort of need to know. So there is Machlokes Amoraim in the Gemara, and there are two ways in short to understand this. The basic concept of Efshal Lesofto Aser is that a piece of meat is already Nivla Be'isir, and then you put that piece of meat into another pot, let's assume not on purpose, you're trying to be Mevatel or anything, the piece of meat dropped into a pot, fell into a pot, or you put it in there, to the point that the Isir Shebo, the Isir that's already Nivla in this meat, is Mevatel in the larger Kedera. So the halacha is that the original piece still remains Aser. That original chaticha that was nibla, the yisr, still remains asr, even though it fell into a giant challenge pot that is way more than shishin to be mevatel the yisr shabbat. So if the piece of meat, let's say, is 5 kazesim, this original chaticha is 5 kazesim, and it has a kazayis nevela that's balua in it, and the pot that you now put it in has shishim against the kazayis shal yisr, but not against the entire chaticha. Right? You put it in a 100 kazayis challenge pot. So it's definitely shishim kenega the iser, but not shishim kenega the chaticha. So if you assume like the mechaber that there's no chanan b'shari surim, right? So you don't need shishim kenega the entire chaticha. You only need shishim kenega the iser. Great. So you have bittul. There's bittul because the contents of the pot are now not going to become aser from that iser. And yet, Efshal Lesofto Aser would tell you, if you say Efshal Lesofto Aser would tell you, that original Chaticha remains Aser. that we do not apply, we do not say, oh, the Lashishim, and therefore we assume that everything was evenly distributed and you've kashered the original Chatikah. We do not assume that it's become mutter because the Isser has been squeezed out of the original piece. We pass the Lashon Sotah Aser that the piece can't be kashered. Lashon the Beis Yosef is Ein Hagala Li'ochlin. That there is no kashering of food. That you're not going to have such a concept of hagala on food. And that's the yisod of Eshul Sotho Asr. So the question is that this sounds very, very similar to Chanan. Right? Chaticha nas levedo. Once something is balei isr, it becomes asr. That the chaticha, the entire chaticha, becomes asr. And therefore, of course, Eshul Sotho Asr. Meaning, if you hold Chanan, you hold that the whole piece becomes levedo. So obviously, there's no Eshul Sotho what? You're going to be sochet the entire piece out of the piece? The whole thing is nevela now. So obviously, Eshul Sotho Asr. If you don't say Chanan, if you don't say Chatikah Nas Nevela, then it should clearly be Eshul Sotho Mutter, because the bleos are the only problem. So if I'm able to extract those bleos, good. So what's the problem? They spread to the rest of the food and the pot in a way that's mevatel them. So why should it be a problem? What's the difference between these two rules of Chanan and Eshul Sotho? So basically, two shittos when he showed him. The Torah quotes them both. The Torah over here starts by quoting a Rashba, and then he says, I don't understand what he's talking about in the Beis Yosef. He says, I don't understand what you're talking about. And it gets into all, everyone using the same languages against each other over here. But there are two shittos in the Rishonim. These songs to remember that seems to, that at least will work for us, the halacha, is that Chanan is used when we talk about everything else in the pot. Meaning, if we say Chanan, then the rest of the pot has to be mevatel the entire original chaticha. Now it's a math problem. You need shishim and the rest of the pot connected the entire original chaticha in order for the rest of the chalent to be mutter. So Chanan is always from the perspective of, even though it's talking about the chaticha, that chaticha, that's the vela, but it's not really telling us much about the chaticha as much as it is about everything that the chaticha is mixed with, everything, all the rest of the pot. So if you don't have shishim, the rest of the pot, connected the entire chaticha, if you say Chanan, then it's going to be so the rest of the pot has to be mevatel the entire original chaticha, not just the bleos shel iser. Whereas if you don't say Chanan, then the rest of the contents of the pot only need to be mevatel the isra b'lulavo. It doesn't need to be mevatel the entire chaticha, just the bleos. So if you hold like a mechaber, that we don't say Chanan b'shari suri, you're only going to need shishim to be mevatel the original kezayis that's below the chaticha. The expression Efshal Sokhto is not focused on everything else in the pot, it's focused on the original Chaticha. Is that original Chaticha ever going to become mutter? So it's a conversation about the piece itself and whether it becomes mutter. Whichever Shita and Rishon we hold like, that principle seems to hold true. That Chanan, when we focus on Chanan, we're really talking about the rest of the pot. When we have conversations about Efshal Sokhto, we're talking about that original Chaticha, that Issu was Nivla Bo. We pass in Efshal Sotho Asr. So the Torah and the Rashba wonder why Efshal Sotho Asr, meaning what's the Sivara? If I have a Bliya of Isr in a Chaticha, and then I'm so chet, that Bliya of Isr, it goes out, I cook it with other things, the Bliya leaves. So why would I say that the original Chaticha is still Asr? What is the Sivara of Efshal Sotho Asr? And this is summarized, even though it's not a very long tour and Beis Yosef, so it's easy to go through the Torah and Beis Yosef over here, but it's summarized quite nicely in the Prima Gadim over here, on the first Prima Gadim on the Taz, in Mishpat Sosav, where he goes through the Torah and the Rashba and the potential nafkaminas between them. And essentially, the two shittos are as follows. The Torah holds that Efshal Sotho Asr is a din. It's not a mitzius, meaning Enochi Nami, all of the Bliya could leave. It's possible that you take a piece of meat that has bleos of chaylev and nevela, whatever else in it, and you put it in a chalent, all of those bleos will be evenly dispersed throughout the entire pot. They will be evenly dispersed. And still, Efshal Sotho tells you, your original chaticha is asr. Because there's such a din. The din is that even if the bleos physically leave, it's still asr. Bleos do leave, they do leave the piece, but there's just such a din. That's asr, that Efshal Sotho asr. The Rashba understands that no, it's not a din. Efshal Sotho Asr is not a principle in halacha. It's a principle in fact. It's a principle in mitzvahs. It's a reality. that if one chaticha absorbs all of this tam of Isser, it will never lose all of that tam Isser. There will always be some tam Isser that remains in the original chaticha. And that's why Efshel Softo Asir. Meaning we have a Kabbalah that for whatever reason Hagala works by Caleb, that the Hagala on Caleb is able to extract all of the Bleos, and Hagala doesn't work by food. That you're never going to be able to extract all of the Bleos in a food, only in Caleb. So that's the fundamental machlokas between the Torah and the Rashba. Nafkamina would be, what if Eliyahu HaNavi were to come and tell us the Bleos are totally gone? He says, those Bleos have totally disappeared. So the Torah would say, I know, but you're Eliyahu HaNavi, you're not allowed to paskin based on Nebuah. And meaning even with your Nebuah, the halacha is not that way, right? The halacha is that Hashem says, so it doesn't matter to me that Bleos leave. I know what the reality is that Bleos leave. But it's just a din. Whereas the Rashba would say, oh, okay, once I know the Metzius, Eliyahu HaNavi is not allowed to paskin based on Nebuah, he's allowed to be Mevarim the Metzius. So once he's mevarim the mitzvahs, that there's no blia, then I would say, okay, if he's able to mevarim the mitzvahs, there's no blia left. So then, Eshel Sof is going to be mutter. So that's how, that would be enough community between them. Lots of questions. Okay.
I know it's an annoying question, but isn't this my focus on mitzvahs?
So the Kabbalah that I have from, I know when I was in my early missions year here in Yeshiva, Rabbi Simon told us in the name of Rav Willi, in the name of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, in the name of his brother, in the name of his grandfather. That's how Rabbi Simon said it every time. That every single machlokas in Metzius could be turned into a machlokas in Halacha. How do you do that? You say that everyone holds that there is some amount of Bliya that's still in there. The question is that Bliya met? Right? Meaning, is that significant enough to call that Halacha?
I don't really get the working assumption, meaning even if it's not Yotze all the Bleos, shouldn't it just have to leave enough Bleos that it's about to Bashish?
Ah, good, we'll get to that in a moment. Right? That's such a good kasha. Yeah, the Rashba asked from about that kasha. Like what?
I don't know if Yotze discussed it, I don't get like the assumption that it's...
Right, okay.
According to the Torah, is the reason for the din because once it's austere we just don't want to say it's mother again, or is there like some other kind of...
I don't know.
No one gives a...
I don't know. Now, the Prima Gatlin connects this to the concept of Isser Dabur, which means that even if I cook a chalent, let's say I have a big chalent, and I take a piece of flanken, a piece of meat, and it has chelev on one side of the flanken. So there's shishim in the pot to be mevatel the chelev, so the rest of the chalent is going to be mutter, because you have shishim against the chelev. But that piece of flanking, which is attached to the chaylev, is still going to be aser, because its connection to the chaylev causes us to be choshesh and to be maher lavdia. That is boleya more of the chaylev than anything else is boleya, and therefore it does not become kasha. Some similar idea with Efshel Softo. Since this chaticha was the first to be boleya, the iser, see, even though subsequently that iser got mixed around with the rest of the food, we assume that there's a higher concentration of the iser in that original chaticha. So the Torah holds that Efshel Softo essentially really is the same thing as Hanan. Meaning, once the piece became Isser, it just could never become Mutter again. There's nothing you could do. It became Nasis Nevela. And even if you're Sochet, all of the Isser added it, it remains Asir. The Rashba holds it's a Metzius. So it has nothing to do with Hanan. Hanan is a Halacha. This is a Metzius. Right, this is just a matter that that there's still some time there. So whatever you hold about Hanan, it really doesn't have an impact on Efshel Softo. So the Torah is makel that if you hold that there's no Hanan, then you would hold Efshel Softo mutter. So if the Torah's assessment of the interplay between Efshel Softo and Hanan is correct, then the Mechaber who doesn't say Hanan, the Shari Surim, should hold Efshel Softo mutter. Right, meaning if the Torah is correct, then the Mechaber, we know the Mechaber holds that there's no Hanan, the Shari Surim. So it should therefore mean that Efshel Softo is going to be mutter, because the Metzius is, it all leaves, right? The Metzius is, the tam goes away. So unless you're going to say that the whole rest of the Chaticha somehow becomes Nevela, so then the whole Chaticha should become mutter. You should be able to kasher it. The Rashba, however, would say that no. Even if you deny Hanan, even if you're a Mechaber person, what we call Sfardim. And you deny Hanan, right? And you hold that there's no Hanan, Bishar, Isurim. Still you're going to say Efshel Softo Asir. And that's how the Mechaber, in fact, holds. The Mechaber actually holds. We don't say Kanan Shari Zubra, Efshel Soto, that Chaticha is still going to be Asin. The Nafkamina between these Shitos is, let's say you mix liquids where we know that it spreads evenly. Right? It's dam that gets mixed in with a little bit of something, and then that little bit of something gets mixed in with more liquid. So since it's all liquid, you know that it's an even distribution. So then there's no doubt about the metzius, right? The metzius is that it's completely spread. So if the liquid is balea iser, and I know that there was only 1 ounce of trefa chicken or dam or whatever that gets absorbed in my chicken soup, and then I mix that chicken soup with vegetable soup, I know that the trefa chicken is mixing evenly, or the dam is mixing evenly. So the Rashba would say, oh, okay, metzius is clear, I put myself to mutter, so then it's going to be mutter. But the Torah would say that no, the din still applies, that once you had something that itself was chanan, right? Then it's going to be Eshel Softo Asim. Now, Ashkenazim don't rely on a kfeil, right? But according to the Mechaber does rely on a kfeil. It does rely on having someone taste it. So according to the Mechaber, why can't you just give it to a kfeil to see if the time is it remains? Meaning if the Mechaber wants to pass in like the Rashba, right? Where the Rashba says, the problem with Eshel Softo is that you really, it's not really Eshel Softo, it's a misnomer, it's not really true. There's still going to be Blia there. And if there's still going to be Blia there, this is what Sabbath has before. There's still going to be Blia there, so just have someone taste it and see if there's actually still Blia there. So that Kasha bothered the Rashba so much that it caused him to write a letter to the Ramban to ask that Kasha. Meaning he was pretty convinced he had a good read on what Eshel Softo means, but he said, I don't understand why we would say Eshel Softo Aser. Why not just give it to a kfeila? He says, I'm Sephardic, you're Sephardic, we could all give it to a kfeila. Let's give it to him, let him taste it, and let him tell us that there's no glios in there, and then everything's going to be great. So the Ramban responded, and it's the Ramban's Tshuva is printed in Tshuva Sarashva, and the Beis Yosef gives himself a nice pat on the back because he was mechavi to it, right? He gives an answer, and then he says, by the way, I later found that the Ramban gave the same teretz to the Rashba about this. Where he basically says an idea that we said many times before, but let's say that the original context, then we'll bring it to our context. The original context he said this idea, I think, was by Naparna. Right? That we know that the Naparnati Yisura is Asur, Naparnati Ateva is Mut. Right? If you have a tam of non-kosher, tam of Nevela, that goes into a pot, and then that goes into your noodles are trey. Right, but if you have tam of basa that goes into the pot, and then the tam from the pot goes into your pasta, and then you mix some cheese with that pasta, your pasta is kosher. If you already mixed the cheese, it shouldn't be on the chachila, but your pasta is going to be kosher, even if everything's ben yomo. Right? Remember what was the number one rule about naparnat da'atera? The diavet, everything's kosher. Right? The naparnat da'atera, the diavet, everything's kosher. Right? That's the number one rule. So it's never going to be awesome again. However, if you cook spaghetti or soup in a trefa pot, the food is going to be asr, because the tab went from the trefa food to the pot, and from the pot to the food, that's not for not the isura, again, assuming everything's ben yom. Now, why is there a difference? Why is it not for not the isura makes asr b'diavad, not for not the teira doesn't make asr b'diavad? So it must be, says the Ramban, that once something has a shame isur, even if a tam kolush remains, even if what remains is such a weakened form of the tam that it's barely detectable or maybe not detectable at all, that's enough to retain the iser. But to create an iser, that you need a tam chazak. A tam kolush is not going to be enough to create an iser. So not bar not is a weakened form of the original tam. So if the original tam was already a tam iser, so the not bar not weakened form of that original tam is still going to be problematic. But if the tam was never a tam iser, it was only tam heter, and now I want to have that weakened tam of basar mixed with cheese and create basar chalav, no, it's not going to create basar chalav. A weakened tam is not going to create an iser. So the same idea, says the Ramban to the Rashba, applies with Eshel Softo. When the piece was originally offered, in order to get rid of that iser, it's not enough to have shishim, it's not enough to... You need to get rid of all traces of tam, even the tam kolush. And that we don't trust the kfeila for, to be able to detect a Tam Kalish. We only trust the Tefillah to be able to detect a real Tam. So such a weak Tam would be undetectable to a Kefillah. Beis Yosef says, again, that he was Mechave to this, the Shema Yishlomar says Beis Yosef, the Kivet Shekvar Nesra, since it already became Aser, Apo Hisha Nifla Ktas Yisro Shabbat, even though some of the Isser has already been extracted, that it's always going to be Aser until you fully extract all time Isser from it. And that's not like a liquid that gets totally, mixed in. When you have a liquid that mixes evenly throughout a tarotis, throughout a liquid tarotis, so then that's as if it was niflat, kula. In Megillah Sefer, he just points out that it seems like a steer in the Rashba. Because in Torah Zabayis Ha'aruch, he writes that the tam always remains strong in the chaticha, and really a kefela should work. But in Torah Zabayis Ha'katzer, he says that it's just never niflat gamri. So and therefore it's the tam kalish that remains, and it may not be detectable to a kefela. So we pass that the Torah Zabayis Ha'katzer, right? Because that's what Beis Yosef says over here. Now we pass that since there's a tam kalish that remains, that's enough to make it awesome. Okay, so the bottom line is, in Shulchan Aruch, we pass like Rash. Right? We pass in that the whole idea of Efshel Sokta, according to the Rash, is that it's Mitzias. That you're never going to get all of the Tam out. That there's, why can't you just have a Kfela? Because it's going to be a Tam Kalash, and that's enough to keep it Usher. It's enough to keep it a problem. But if you knew somehow that all of the Tam was out, then we would have to say, look, how would you know somehow if it's a liquid mixture? Because then you know that it got all mixed evenly. So then you're going to say, Epshul Sokta Mutter in such a case. If you knew somehow that all the time was out. Now, is this din of the Rashi? Is this a din d'oraisa, or is this a din? Any questions? Rafi,
The word din by liquids, is that the blios are spread out evenly, or that it's yotzei from the original rotave and now you have a new taroves of extra rotave?
I'm not sure there's a difference. I mean, it's not a blios and everything gets evenly distributed. So the pashtus is that this idea of the Rashba is a din rabban, meaning on a daraisa level. Right, what's the din on a daraisa level when you have tam of non-kosher in your food? It's a din called tam kiker, right? And you can taste the non-kosher, so then, midoraisa, you have a problem. The Rashba says, oh, there's a tam kalush that even the greatest experts in the world will never be able to detect. But it's still going to be usher, because it started out as usher, and that usher doesn't go away. Pashto says, that's got to be a din rabbanan, right? Meaning, there's no tam kiker, there's no tam. There's no tam left. Because the mitzius is that there's some slightly higher concentration of the yisr in this food than in the rest of the pot, yeah, but it's not detectable. It's not detectable. It's not tam kiker. Maybe it should be mut. So Pashto says this whole din of the Rashba is the whole way the Rashba understands Efshel Sokta Aser is a din rabbanan. It's not a din d'oraisa. However, the Chavis Das is mechadesh that Efshel Sokta Aser midoraisa. And it's based on the Yisod, I think we've seen from the Chavis Das before, where he says that Bittul has to happen at the point of contact. Meaning when Isser and Heter first encounter each other, that's where Bittul has to happen. If when the Isser and Heter first encountered each other, there was no Bittul, then the change that happens in the item later on is not gonna activate it. If there was not enough heter to be involved in the Isser at the original encounter, it's not going to be involved in the Isser later on when the Isser is weakened. So initially, when this chaticha had blios, it had real blios that you could detect and taste and were really there. So that was the meeting of Isser and heter with each other in this chaticha, and that meeting did not allow for bittul. So now I try to extract some of the Isser out of this chaticha to the point that maybe now whatever's left there should be batel. No, you don't apply bittul later on. You don't apply bittul later on to the chaticha itself. And that is a din d'orais. You know, the Chavis Das writes, v'nirli v'yash, d'inei l'chor u'kash, d'mehechitesi, d'minatora afshul sotasur, kivin d'chatik lo nas l'veila. Sorry, d'mehechitesi afshul sotasur, kivin d'chatik lo nas l'veila. L'ani timas k'feila l'chatikha. V'kivin d'leka taima, minatora ye asur. It should become asur. No, I'm sorry, mehechitesi asur. I keep saying minatora. Mehechitesi asur. Right? Why would you make it usr if you can't have the tam? If you don't taste the tam? Dinero b'taim at the milsa, cute, right? Dinero b'taim at the milsa. Dinei Mordechai hichal ha diyavama. Sher rocket badam. Remember this case? The yavama that spits out dam, right? When she's doing the chalitza. And we said, oh, but wait, she needs roke. Dam is not good enough. Oh, but efshar that there's not a tzichtzuch roke in her dam that she spit out. I mean, when she spits blood out of her mouth, of course there's roke mixed in. Or shichbazer shalzav, that's mitame. I'm shichbazer is not mitame, but efshar b'lo tzichtzuch ziva. And in the shichbazer of the zav, there's got to be some ziva in there. Vehiksha deliftal beruva. But okay, I'll grant you that there's roke in her blood, that there's ziva in the shifazara of the zav. I'll grant you that it's there, but shouldn't it be patel? Whatever happened to bittel bro? V'tirei, so the Mordechai said, keep it that a heter lo v'yed nikr called the bittel, lo shayach bittel bro. That the heter wasn't, it was never an independent entity, separate from the iser, and therefore you don't say bittel bro. V'mi'iser lo v'yed nikr, v'heter v'yed nikr, afilu b'dorm shem is batel, batel, v'mkur, so some kut beit. And the Isser was not nicker, and the Heter was nicker. Even things that are not Mispatel become Batel. Because it was never an independent entity. What he's essentially saying is that in order for Bittel to happen, you need to have a Heter and a Tar Isser. They have to meet, and Bittel has to happen. But when something was already bound up together, you don't then activate Bittel at some point where you have a Shayin. So that's what he goes on to say, Mishmach Yachetich Atzma Shabalo Isser. This chaticha that was boleh the iser, shahaya la chaticha gufei shem iser. Now this chaticha is a shem iser. Tak shay iser betocha yisur mitzarev zlalpas. Well, when the iser was in it, you'd get malchus and all, kizayis and the whole thing. Mishum hachi, mashu iser shenishu betocha, non is batal betocha. Whatever mashu iser remains there, does not become batal. Kivit shakodim abitul loye nikar ahetir. Because before that bitul, there was no nikar ahetir. It was iser the whole time. That's the chiddush of the Chavis Das. That was an interesting point to make. So with all of that, which was essentially like a long summary of everything it says in Kovav, but we might as well see how it actually says in Shulchan Aruch. So look at Shulchan Aruch, right? What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Is it valid? Chaticha shebalei iser, vein bashishim levatel. Good, you have chaticha that's balei iser, you don't have shishim, the whole thing's going to be awesome. Shenafu lekadeira, and then that falls into a larger chalipa. Eino sarasel vichedron iser shabbat. Right, this is the machaber who does not hold the chanan b'shari surah. So since there's no chanan, what you need shishim connected is only the iser shabbat. Shem yesh b'mashim b'deira, mitzurah, v'chaticha atma, shishim connected iser b'lova, mutter mashim b'deira. That if, together with the rest of this chaticha, in combination with the rest of the chalit, you have shishim keneged, the bliya of iser, let's say the original chaticha was five kazayisim of het, and there's one kazayis of bliyas iser in it, and it falls into a chalit pot that's 55 kazayisim, so that's 60 to 1, and you have bit. Right? That counts as 60 to 1, you have bit. Aval! Hachaticha atzma asura, right? The chaticha itself is going to remain asur because mitzius, because of mitzius, that the isur sheba is never totally niflat. And what does it say in parentheses? Rashba, right? And the Rama writes, "Pcheiniker, the local Rosh Hashanah el sin sadibay is dafos chaticha mutaret." The Gemara in Sifkat and Gimel says that even though there is no chanan b'shari surin, still the efshal soto in chiluk, because they're two totally separate concepts, as we explained. Then the mechaber goes on to say, "Oh, but masha ein kein b'davar aniblo v'nimala. If it was like a liquid, shim nafal dam uchiyotzbil tovrot efshal heter, you have some blood that falls into some sauce. But asu machlas miyutzah, but it's only 5 ounces of sauce connected 1 ounce of blood, so the whole thing's asur. Va'achar kach nisraba arota. Then you add 55 more ounces of sauce. Shel heter ad sheish bo kulo shishim levat al adam. Kula mutter, shakol nivol nisari. Then everything's going to become mutter because we assume everything is nivol. Because again, Rashba, it's a mitzvah. Comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says, but ulfi mashenogin lomar bekol yisurim chatir nasleveva. But we upasun chanan b'shar yisurim. Then the whole nafkamina falls away between lach and yavesh. Ein chilek bein davar lach and davar yavesh. Elul inyan zed imanesek varu davar yavesh. Yeshish and Kenegdo, Hachaticha and Aseres Tchila and Aseres Pisura, Vitzorach Lasira Misham in Makira, Vimeinu Makira Betela. The Rama says, the only difference is that the original Dabar Yavish piece you can still identify, and therefore it is going to remain Aser, unless it falls into another Tarobes and you can't recognize it, then it's going to become Batal, unless it's Chatim Kuri Veskabit, it cannot become Batal. First of all, it's a little curious that he quotes Chatim Kuri Veskabit in this context. Why is it curious that he quotes Chatim Kuri Veskabit in this context? It's not the Etzema Isser. It's only us because of a Bliya in it. So why does the fact that the Dvar head is Chatim Kuri Veskabit, why does that matter? Right? So that's problematic. So the Shach is bothered by that, it's in Chatim Dalit. He says, "V'kasha dimkein avinu yechidu miskab katelik even the yisur machmas atzma." Moshe Rav Rishon Mitzvah. It's our Lord. The Hem Shachlash Rav Kein Kachu Uvi Mashnah Gelum Kol Yisur Chanan Yekein Kol Yisur Din Shalu Basmut Allah. That without telling us, the Rama stealthily transitioned from Shari Yisur to Basmut Allah, and therefore Chatichu Rishkabi became relevant again. It's the best answer you can give. I mean, it's just a very shvarim Rama. Otherwise, but if it's double lach, then everything is going to be mutter. Nafkamina l'dida, nafkamina for our case, yeah.
It's amazing for us, like.
Yes, let me just nafkamina l'dida as follows. Let's say something is balea het. What is balea flesh? You want to be the so let's say you have a chicken soup. And there's carrots in your chicken soup, right? So, you know, everyone has that one kid in the family that doesn't want any stuff in his chicken soup. It's got to be perfectly clean and clear or something. You are that kid, right? So a person looks at the carrot in the chicken soup and says, this doesn't belong to the chicken soup. Carrots belong to vegetable soup. Last time I checked, the carrot is a vegetable, right? It's a tuna in the chicken soup. So in the act of protest, you take the carrot out of the pot of chicken soup, and you drop it into the parva vegetables, right? So the carrot is fleshed because it's a tafshil shel basar. It was cooking in the chicken soup, so it has a din of the tafshil shel basar. So if I put the carrot in vegetable soup, so if there's shishim in the vegetable soup, can I get the carrot? So the vegetable soup is parv, right? What about the carrot? Is the carrot parv? So there's no chanan on head. So you're not going to say nasis neveh, right? You don't say chaticha nasis basar. So certainly the rest of the soup is not flesh. What if I eat the carrot? So the shach and the taz, according to the Dunya Marsha, over here, that you should be flesh. Because we pass with like the Rashba, that the metzias is that the carrot is more common than anything else. Meaning that since the bleas went into the carrot first, that even though it then got cooked together with the rest of the vegetable soup, so it has more time than anything else. Once you know the Ramban's tshuva to the Rashba, that it would be tasted by a kfeila that wouldn't help, because Tom Kolish is still problematic by Yisr, look over, the carrot could become mutter. Why? What was the Ramban's tshuva to the Rashba? That Tom Kolish is a problem. Why is Tom Kolish a problem? Because when you have some, remember the difference between Naparnat HaTeira and Naparnat the Isur. The Tam Kolish of HaTeira never bothered me. Tam Kolish of Isur loved. Tam Kolish of HaTeira perfectly fine. all the Rashbam saying, all the Rashbam saying, where the Ramban said the tshuva to the Rashbam, where the Yosef said, is that you still have, even though granted most of it, a kfeilah can tell you that most of the blios have left. I can't even detect anything. If I can't taste the taste of the chicken soup at all and the carrot anymore, it's all left. So all thing I'm left with is a tam kalush. So what? I'm only left with a tam kalush. Well, a tam kalush of iser remains aser. But does tam kalush from heter cause me any problems? Do I say tam kalush from basar remains basar? We don't have any such thing. So it's heter. So you'd be able to rely on tasting, and as long as you don't detect the chicken flavor, if you rely on people tasting, so then you'd be allowed to rely on it. So that's the best nafkamina ledita. If you do the act of protest with the carrot and the chicken, there's a question. Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand it completely, but the way that we said the Chavdas and Mordechai,
yeah.
I think early in the year we said, I think it was known to be Buddha, that we said that if something's already pre-existing before, and then it comes to create the thing, that we will say Mordechai.
I mean, if they pre-exist as two separate entities, and then they come together, bit.
Yes, but that goes against what we're saying here, no?
No, the way the Chavdas is understanding that you sold with the Mordechai is that bittul has to happen at the point of interaction. That bittul can't happen like later on. If they've already interacted, they've already been together, right? And there was no bittul, so you can't then say, oh, now there's going to be bittul. So in the case of the Mordechai, it was because they never existed separately. So therefore, there wasn't bittul. But there's already tarufis, you don't just say bittul, right? So in this case, they did exist separately, but at the time that they came together, there was no bittul, right? Because there was an actual bliya of iser in the chatir. Now, Sif Beis, let's just say quickly. Sif Beis Shemar tells us that a chatir sheyesh bo chela, and there's shishim kereged b'chela. He just, Shemar just says, just gotta be careful how you take things out of that pot while the chela is still there. Meaning, even if you have shishim kereged b'chela, and therefore the rest of the chalent is all going to be mutter. But if you start scooping out, start scooping out chalit, then you may be left with less than shishim of chalit connected to chalit, and now you're going to trade up whatever is left in your pot. So this is practical. A fly falls in the soup, so you got to make sure you take out the fly first, right? Meaning if you pour out the rest of the soup, then as you pour out, the first 90% of the soup, at the end you're left with less than shishim of the soup with the fly over there. Now the fly is going to trade up your soup, even though the fly was shishin. So you don't take out the yisra itself either, because that's going to... Okay, but you wait for it to... So the Shulchan says, you wait for it to cool down. The Rabbah writes, the theme of the Kaimel and Hanan, since the piece is usher anyway, you can take out the yisra right away. Okay. The fly with the soup is a questionable example. Why? Because we had Simon Kovdalit. The Zvob is a double puggle, because it's a double marbles. That's the question. Is a fly a double motus and a double puggle? There are chokhm up there. The bachim are shalom machmir, unless it's hefsim ruba. What's hefsim ruba? Ayein, everything is okay, but they're machmir, that's hefsim ruba. Also, if the fly is still alive, if you see he's still swimming, it could be that a living fly is not machmir. And only when he's dead, he starts to be machmir. There's a rush in Avodah Zarah that says, coming up for the Gemara of Megillah says that Haman told Achashverosh, his kitruv against Klal Yisrael was that if a fly falls in our soup, a fly falls in our wine, we just take out the fly and we drink it. But if the melech were to stick his finger in the yayin of a Jew, he'll never drink it, he'll pour out the whole wine. So he thinks you're lower than a fly. So the Rosh says, is that halachically accurate? When the fly falls in our wine, are we going to drink it? Meaning, Chazal didn't tell us every idiotic thing that Haman said, right? So why did they tell us this idiotic thing that Haman said? Maybe it's correct, la halacha. Maybe he was right, la halacha. They just remove the fire, it's going to be fine. So the Rosh says it's a raya that cold things are not machmir, because it's cold. Now, the Chasam Sofer points out that it seems to be that a davar chai is not machmir. But this Rosh seems against that, right? Because if the davar chai is not machmir, then maybe a cold thing can't be maflit, and it's just that it's a davar chai, and that's why it's not maflit. So how do you know that a davar kar is not maflit? But the rush is mashma that it's nothing come to shak, right? Meaning the very fact that there's a possibility that the rush takes someone seriously as halakha, and the and he starts having this conversation. So it sounds like it's Nosi Tamil Shvach, that it's not Nosi and Tamil of God. Okay, maybe tomorrow we'll finish up with just two basic questions that people ask from the Chavar and the Ramah over here, and then we'll do some design as well.